listening to WCNO Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm wholly yours. In all the hidden places.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host. Just want to thank you for joining us today. And by faith, we believe that there's a lot of people listening, because we don't know unless we hear from you. And we do want to thank those that write to us. And I'm going to mention that in a second. So I just want to say good morning to Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning. Do I have a radio voice, guys? Please comment.
And there she is, Nanette Maldonado.
And then our brother, Sean O'Hay.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Oh, look. How come you do that? Why do you do that? Because you're already in the afternoon. I think you're like way ahead of your light.
Because he doesn't sleep, for goodness sakes.
Light years ahead of us. Amen.
For me, 11 o'clock is still the morning. Please also comment who is on my side and who's on Sean's side that it's the afternoon.
Well, the Bible says God doesn't sleep or slumber, you know, so that he can work on your situations and circumstances while you're sleeping. But if you're awake with him, you know, and you're praying, you know, guess what?
It's afternoon.
You got it.
Amen. Amen. Well, speaking of people writing to us, so our brother Tim, who we hear from almost weekly, you know, with little comments and, you know, just some just comments about things. And then he's really good. He's been sending us many, many books from Dr. Bill Hammond, who all of us are very fond of. And so he just sent a nice pack the other day with several copies of books about the prophetic movement. And, that you know, they consider Bill Hammond to be the father of the modern-day prophetic movement. And, you know, he's just very solid. I think he got saved in 1955 or 53 or something. Or he's been preaching since that time, something like that. But I know it was before I was born, so, you know, he's quite a bit older. But solid prophet, very accurate, and he's, you know, he's really defined the end time movement of both the saints and the apostolic and prophetic ministry in the church, you know, for these end times. And he offers mentorship, and he has trained up. I know that I read something, but it was like thousands, like tens of thousands of prophets over the last 60, 70 years, but very solid with his picture and his take on the prophetic and how it fits into the modern day church. And I know the one thing that he talks about is the end time movement of the saints, which I believe that we have already entered into. And it seems that the church is going from the church age and seeing, maybe you can help me to define this, but the church age, if you look back through the church, you know, and how the church has been structured over the years, and, you know, as of late, like in the 40s and the 50s, you get the healing movement, you've got the teaching. We've been in the teaching arena in the faith movement for so many years now. And all of that is coming to fruition in preparation for the third great awakening. And I don't know if many people don't see the church that way. They just see that, you know, we're going to be saved and we're just going to do our thing and we're going to witness to people and then Jesus will come. But there's so much more to it than that. But I did want to say that, Brother Tim, thank you so much for your comments all the time. But he referred us to 1 Corinthians 14:39, which is says in the King James, it says, covet to prophesy. And I didn't turn to that because I had another scripture I was going to go to. So that's, you know, us on this program, you know, we're speaking prophetically, and anybody that's preaching the word is preaching prophetically. You know, prophecy is not just, oh, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen next week. It's prophesying. It's giving forth the word of God, whether it's through encouragement, whether it's through teaching. You know, prophecy is a lot of different things. And being that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, then prophecy is a good thing. And then the Apostle Paul said that, you know, I wish that all would prophesy. You know, and there's many people that, you know, a little bit, you know, not on board with prophecy. You know, we're not, the prophetic movement is not redefining anything in Scripture. The prophetic movement is really just letting people know what God is doing in this hour. And I remember, you know, seeing, you had put it to me like 10, 12 years ago, that prophets, modern day prophets, you know, when the prophets of now are not the same as the Old Testament prophets. They were prophesying Jesus, the coming of Christ, and all of that. Modern day prophets are really like, well, like you explained it, like if you went on the ride at Busch Gardens, you go through the jungle or something. I've never been over there. So you're on the train or the little cab thing, wherever they're, you know, taking you along. So the prophet is like the guy with the microphone, and he's saying, okay, folks, over here, you know, there's a little hippopotamus over here. Mm-hmm. And then over on this side, you know, we've got a lion. And, you know, and so the prophets nowadays, if we just see them, we just look to them as they're just kind of giving context to where we're at and where we're heading.
Amen. You know, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy in motion. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's work, part of his work is to reveal Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy, as our model and as our reality in the realm of the spirit, because any person can be as prophetic as they want to. Moses, you know, is standing, and Joshua runs in and says, who are those people outside the gate? And look at them. They're prophesying, as if to say they shouldn't be prophesying. And Moses says, I would that all God's people were prophets, in that, you know, he was saying, I would that all of God's people would become so intimate with God that they would really recognize what prophetic intimacy is about. Because when you're intimate with God, God reveals his secrets to you. But it's not a matter of every you know, just because a person is intimate with God, yeah, he reveals his secrets, but it doesn't mean that they're called to the office of a prophet. But again, we can all be as prophetic as we want to. But when you're intimate with God, there comes a place in the realm of the spirit where there's imagery, where imagery that comes with creative ability to create opportunity in the realm of the spirit. Because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, we're living in the flow of the Spirit of God. That's a supernatural, you know, supernatural outpourings of the Spirit of God. So becoming intimate with God allows us to create the opportunities to walk in what God's really saying in the day and in the hour that we live in. And, you know, God adds to his church daily. And as God adds to his church daily, it's up to God's people to become intimate with God. Because intimacy always gives birth to the supernatural, to the extraordinary, to the miraculous. So all of God's people should be prophetic in that they become intimate in knowing God. What does it say in the book of Peter, 2 Peter? Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of him who's called you by his glory and his virtue. Virtue is the expression of the glory that is in you. So his grace and his peace abounds towards you or is multiplied to you through your intimacy with him. Every prophet that we've ever known had such an intimate relationship with God that they understood the face-to-face reality of what it means to stand in the presence of God no matter what was happening, no matter what was taking place. And today, God is raising up a people called the body of Christ, and the leaders that he has set in their office to function with unction and the permission to step out are called apostles and prophets, and they are the builders of the house that God is building. You know, and you can sit in some churches and, you know, you can hear the Spirit of God saying these are wonderful people and they're going to go to heaven when they die, but this is not the church that I'm building because I've already raised up apostles and prophets.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, and that, I was reading this, I got an email blast from Larry Sparks Ministries, and Larry is, works for, what is it, the books, Word, not Word, Books, whatever the book publisher is. He's a book publisher, but he's, anyway, he sent out an email blast, and I just want to read this. And this has to do with the context of apostles and prophets and the Great Awakening, the end time movement of the saints. So I'm just going to read. This is Larry writing this. So none of this is my words unless I say so. So Larry says, when I was in middle school, I believed in Jesus, but only just enough. Just enough for what? For two things. I wanted to get to heaven, and I didn't want to miss the rapture. He said in middle school, their Bible teacher showed them the movie The Thief in the Night, which is a somber warning to those who got left behind after the rapture. Regardless of where you stand on end time approaches, I believe our sovereign God often uses unique and unconventional means to accomplish his purposes. I know he used that movie. With that being said, I must expose an end-time deception that's confusing believers and preventing the church from becoming the Matthew 16 church that Jesus envisioned. And that church is an advancing, overcoming, hell gates-shattering church. And there's in Matthew 24, every headline today seems like another verse out of Matthew 24. Coming to pass, wars, rumors of wars, deception, lawlessness, on and on. But the Lord recently spoke a word to my heart that completely shifted how I view these very real warnings from Jesus. Matthew 24 gives context, but Acts 2:17 gives promise. In other words, Matthew 24 tells us what's happening, but Acts 2:17 tells us what heaven is doing in the midst of it, which is to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Jesus wasn't giving us end-time promises to build our lives in Matthew 24. He was revealing the signs so that we wouldn't be caught unaware. His goal was not fear, but focus. Darkness is real, but so is the glory. Matthew 24 paints a picture of a dark and deceived world, wars, disease, famine, chaos. But that's not the end of the story. In the middle of the darkness, Isaiah saw a company of people filled with the glory of God, bringing transformation, healing, and kingdom solutions. These are the ones who rise and shine, which Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says, carrying the fire of Acts 2 into the chaos of Matthew 24. Do you see that? You are called to carry the Acts 2 outpouring into Matthew 24 end time conditions. Jesus is not trying to blow up the earth like the Death Star from Star Wars. And history is not spiraling into utter destruction. It's accelerating toward the return of Christ the King, the renewal of all things, and the establishment of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And our role in the great kingdom advance is to be in gatherings where the Holy Spirit is moving in power and revival. And then with that, to equip a generation to walk both in the Word and in the Spirit with boldness and clarity. Together, we're not hiding from the headlines. We're writing heaven's headlines with expectation. So hallelujah, that was just a good context there. You know, because I know even as in my early time as a believer, yeah, I remember seeing, I didn't see the movie, but I heard people preaching on it and talking about it. And man, I was like scared of everything. And, you know, just I just wanted to make the rapture. But, you know, but then you realize that, you know, God has a great plan. It's not just to scoop us up and let us escape from all these things. We should be doing that in our daily lives. You know, Jesus has given us the ability to overcome. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And, you know, that like daily, as we spend time, that intimate time with him daily, then he's the one that provides the context to us for what he's doing. He gives us that the peace and the assurance and the confidence that he is definitely in control. And even though all these things are going on around us, he still has a plan and he includes us in that plan. The years that I've been saved, you just see people are just happy going to church and, you know, hearing a nice sermon every week and waiting until Jesus comes. But we've got to be doing, you know, we're not just hearers of the word. We've got to do, and that doing is about souls. It's always about souls. It's always about people that don't know Jesus and preaching the gospel to them. And then each one of us doing what we're called to do.
I think what you're saying, though, is that we have to somehow, through our intimacy with God, recognize the new evidence of what's being poured out by the technology of the spirit realm. Because there's something that the old paradigm cannot explain, but it's the new evidence of this outpouring, this time now through sensitivity and intimacy.
Amen. And that, you know, that scripture in Acts, where is it? Oh, I just pulled my...
the one in 2:16?
Yeah, let's see. Which is that the Lord said, I will pour out mm-hmm. my spirit. Mm-hmm. And, well, I have the King James today, so let me just read it from there. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I read that scripture and then how Larry had put it together here with Matthew 24, you know, it's like you see what's going on and then you see the solution, you know, which God has provided that solution.
Yeah, and he also said, it continues in 18, in those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women mm-hmm. alike, and they will prophesy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Bible says he'll lead you and guide you into all truth, and he already has come. So you have to ask yourself, what's he doing on the inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
Hitchhiking a ride through life, you know, extra baggage for you to carry around? No, he's in you to put you over. He's in you to help you develop your spiritual giftings. He'll give illumination to your mind. He'll give direction to your spirit. He'll give strength to your body. But it's all supernatural. So we have to allow the supernatural of God come into our lives through our intimacy with God and recognize the evidence is always there. The fruit is always there. The ability is mm-hmm. always there because God in you, your hope and glory, is supernatural now. We can have a little bit of heaven on earth to go to heaven in. So why don't we celebrate who he really is, find out what he's about, and find out what he really wants to do on the inside of us. And the Spirit and the Word always agree.
Yeah, you know, I know it probably sounds in the radio like we're like trying to feel our way in or out of places. But this is what happens in the prophetic, right? This is what happens when we are really just wanting to hear what the Lord is saying. And when we're at this place, guys, a lot of things are coming our way. And we have to, like, filter through, like, Lord, is this for this moment? Is this part of what you're saying? But one of the things that stood out, which might not make sense, and it's kind of in the same, you know, what we're all talking about, and I want to get back to the whole prophets thing. But one of the things that stood out to me was in Matthew 15, 8. And it's a prophecy by Isaiah, okay? And so it was being repeated at that time, right, from the Lord, Jesus Christ. And he said, these people honor me with their lips. And listen, I just want you to just like sit on every word. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. There's a lot of man-made ideas right now. A lot of them, you know, and it's being taught, and many are just being deceived by them, you know. And if I can continue on, it says in number 10, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and he tried to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? And Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. Those are some pretty serious words. And it says, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. Okay, so then it says, then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. And there's so much there, and I'm not getting into the theology or the deep context of it. But this morning, I kept thinking about the heart, our heart. Like, I feel like the Lord was just sharing me something intimately about the tabernacle and at that time many years ago with Moses in the wilderness. And I just pulled these scriptures concerning the heart, because the one thing that stood out was the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve, which is in Jeremiah 17:9-10. And from all that, you know, I just kept saying, wow, above all else, guard your heart, right? For everything flows as water reflects. And this is where I stood on, where I referred to the tabernacle. It says, water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart, which is Proverbs 27:19. And then next, I heard brazen altar. And I felt like the Lord was just pouring out his heart into mine, saying, there's so many still in that place in front of the brazen altar. And so the brazen altar, we know, was a structure which, you know, the burnt offerings of animal sacrifices were presented to the Lord there, okay? And so I feel like many are still in that place to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Many are still in that place to repent and to realize who was the ultimate sacrifice. And so, again, our heart, man, it could be so deceptive, especially a heart that does not have Christ. A heart that hasn't been made clean, you know, created me a clean heart, right? And renew a steadfast spirit in me. It's just something about the heart this morning. And when you were talking, you know, when we were talking about the prophets, which I just feel like it just threads together. You know, it says here in the book that Brother Tim graciously just gave us, and we just got it this morning from Dr. Bill Hammond. And I happened to open it up and the role of the prophets and everything that you guys are sharing, seeing in Karen, it's interesting. It says that that we need an understanding of the restored role of the prophet in the church to help us avoid misunderstandings and extremes. Okay. And so that stood out to me. And then it says here, the nature of the prophet. Look what it says here, which I believe seen harped on it a little bit. A prophet is just the person who has been divinely gifted with the nature and ability of Christ, the prophet, becoming more like Jesus. The prophets, even the modern prophets right now, should be looking like Jesus, should be walking and demonstrating Jesus. And the first example that came to mind was Jonah. And I know it probably doesn't make sense to you guys, but maybe it just makes sense to me. He showed me clearly at this moment that in the belly of the whale, God was showing Jonah mercy to then become mercy to the people in Nineveh. But he refused. He received the mercy, right? He went through that process of mercy, but he didn't become mercy. But Jesus became mercy. Jesus is the very essence of mercy. So Jonah, as a prophet, should have become mercy, but he didn't. From the beginning of his assignment to the end of his assignment, he still didn't become mercy. And so I just want to throw that out. I just want to throw that out to everyone listening. And, it, you know, it's for myself first. It always comes to the messenger first. And it has to be dealt with the messenger. But, wow, that instantly came to me and that touched me. It's like, wow, Lord, you know, as a prophet, you should be coming like Christ, carrying the very nature of Christ. So when you're delivering that message, you are that message. So if that prophet is delivering that message and does not become the message, beware.
I was just reading something this morning. I don't know where it was, and I don't know where I read it, but it was about which I think, you know, the body of Christ, everybody, you know, everybody has different parts and everything, but all of us are vessels for which the Lord wants to move through. And the illustration was like a pipe, you know, where that water comes out of. So what if the pipe is like, well, I don't want to be a pipe, you know, and then the pipe tries to clog it up so it can't go through. And that's what some of us do. We, you know, we'll clog everything because we're trying to figure it out in our own selves rather than realizing that the pipe itself is the vessel through which the Lord will flow through. And yes, so you want prophets that they're out of the way. They're just the container that the word of God is coming through. And that goes for all of us.
All of us.
You know, whatever our giftings are, that, you know, we got to move out of the way. But it's that intimacy with the Lord, the that constant surrender to the Lord, where he conforms us into his image, so that when we are out around other people, that he's the one that's being seen. He's the one that's being heard.
Yeah, and it goes with like what Larry Sparks had shared, where it says, you know, from Acts 2:16 into Matthew 24. And what stood out is the equipping. So in order to equip people well, it has to be with the word and the spirit and in boldness and in clarity. And in order to do that, you do have to be that clean pipe for him to flow through. And you do have to live a certain way. I mean, there's a certain standard of the word that of the Lord that we can't do without, you know, a structure and an order. And that's very, very important.
Amen.
We've lived in a time though where we have a lot of people that repeat what other people say, you know, and it's time that we recognize that this is a sight and a sound generation of people that can see and they can hear, you know, in the spirit, as well as seeing how God is moving, so that we don't have to be parrots any longer by repeating what somebody else said. And I'm not saying that everything that everybody else says is not correct and not right, but it's time to become that prophetic generation that, you know, bottom line recognizes that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So there's a real difference between foolishness and the wisdom of God. And you know, in the prophetic, it's to get those who are not saved salvation, you know. And it's to bring those who are not in the house of God, to bring them back. It's the bottom line. And, you know, again, God has raised up a generation of people that are so apostolic and so prophetic and so intimate with God that, you know, out there we have so many listeners who say to themselves, I'd really like to go to church, but I can't find one that, you know, that I like. Well, humble yourself and start praying, start fasting, start listening to what God is saying, because a lot of nameless and faceless people care about one another, and God has raised up some wonderful, wonderful leaders in the day in which we live, but you're going to have to find them, and you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God with a certain type of discernment for where you really fit in.
Amen. Yeah, following other people. Yeah, those days are over. Can't follow after others. You know, a lot of times we do that. I know I did that early on and when I got saved, because you don't know. But these people that are coming into the kingdom, now, they're going to know Jesus. And that's the main issue. When you know Jesus, when you know the Holy Spirit, and you allow the Holy Spirit to determine the path in your life, you're going to get there a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. I think many of us, you know, that have been saved for a lot of years, I think we're crossing over into the kingdom age, to where, you know, even like the workers in the vineyard, that parable, you know, that I feel like that's a pic. I mean, you know, there's many different analogies mm-hmm. that you can use it for, but for me, I always see it as those of us that have been saved for a lot of years, and we've been laboring, we've been seeking the Lord and going, doing the stuff and all that stuff. And then now here comes these people just coming into the kingdom, and they understand what took us years to understand, because the spirit of wisdom and revelation is flowing into them, which I think by design of the Lord to mm-hmm. equip these end time people, saints, all the nameless, faceless generation of people, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just going to be operating on a different level. Mm-hmm. And if you look and see how many young people are getting saved and getting set free, getting delivered, and they're going out. That's the whole thing. You don't want to see them get saved and then go sit in church for 10 years trying to overcome their past life. No, they're being delivered mm-hmm. immediately. The prison, in the prisons, there's, you know, that God behind bars, that website, you know, where they're just droves and droves of prisoners getting saved and delivered and set free, even in prison. Mm. So we just look forward to all the things that the Lord is doing. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we will be back shortly.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. We are back.
Amen.
Go ahead, Nanette, with your thoughts. That you
yeah, I still get, I'm still getting this picture, the similarity, which I had shared a few minutes ago about the brazen altar. But this time I'm getting this image again. He's showing me the people outside of the temple just choosing the way that seems right to him, which leads to destruction, the hard way, you know, the way of purchasing that lamb, you know, or that dove or whatever it was for the sacrifice, looking for that blemish perfect sacrifice, you know, for them to present. and just living still in that place, even though it was already done for them, even though Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, that this continuing making blood sacrifices outside of him is the way. That's not the way at all. And so it's just this, I just keep seeing the people there over and over. And we can recall that Jesus ended up meeting them in that place with a holy anger, with fury. Like, I mean, he was lifting those tables up and throwing them every which way because it was a temple that was profited in the wrong way. It was a temple where there was money laundering going on. There was a misuse. There was, you know what I mean? There was all of these things happening. And he was just like throwing the tables and turning the tables and saying, "What? This is not my house. You know, my house, one, should be a house of prayer, right?" I mean, he was just like, you're defiling this temple. This is not my house. This is not how things should go. And eventually he would demonstrate himself as the living sacrifice, as the atonement for our sins. And so I just keep seeing that there's many still living there and wanting to do that, you know, wanting to just stay as usual, like do as usual, and not recognizing that it has been done already. And he's saying, take upon my yoke, because my yoke is easy. Mm-hmm. He's saying my way is the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
I wholeheartedly see that in my own life.
Yeah. And I know
when I got saved, I was not encouraged to get to know Jesus. I was told, read your Bible, pray, and go witness. I'm like, well, what's any of that? You know, you don't know. But had I been taught to seek Jesus in prayer, you know, of course, read the word, pray, seek Jesus, seek the Lord in your prayer closet. We see it in scripture. It's there. You know, when you pray, da-da-da-da-da. But there was no instruction towards that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just go out and tell people what Jesus did for you, and even though you don't have a clue. You know, I knew my life had changed. I knew I was different. But there was... They said, well, you know, now you have to do this, this, and this. And then started laying out the rules. And so anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just seek the face of Jesus. Seek that intimacy with him.
Mm.
And spend that time with him personally. Spend more time with Jesus than you do with people. Church people.
Mm-hmm.
Other Christians, spend more time with the Lord and learn to hear from him.
Mm.
Yeah, of course, we need other people to be with and to fellowship with. But seek the Lord Jesus. He's always right there, ready to... I mean, he lives in you, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So if you can just, you know, every day think, well, I better watch what I'm doing if he's living within me by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Change your life.
He came to his own. His own received him not, but as many that received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, recognizable, full of grace, full of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read something to you about the anointing at Bethany, because we live in a day where the people of God, those that can see and hear, see how God's moving, hear what God's saying. It's really out of the extravagant, selfless devotion. So listen to this from John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Yeshua came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. They prepared a supper for him there. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Miriam took a pint of very costly ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Yeshua and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii, given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having the money box, he used to steal what was put in it. But Yeshua said, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has kept this for this day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And, you know, preservation of that which is valuable for everyone who has an alabaster box, which you do if you don't know, it comes through extravagant, selfless devotion. And when it breaks, it breaks for the anointing that is to anoint him. And as we anoint him with our words, with our life, with our ability, in other words, with our thanksgiving, that is a process that begins from the inside to allow us to worship our God, which is the, you know, the highest form of human expression is our worship, only when we can allow our alabaster box to break. And it's the precious, it's the valuable. So we have to see value not in worth and from the natural standpoint, but from the supernatural standpoint, who Christ really is. Because again, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, you know, the cross, the message of the cross. But we're not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto what salvation really is. And I really believe that through extravagant, selfless devotion in allowing our alabaster box to break, then and only then can we say he is Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, the intimacy that we have with God in this realm that we call the prophetic, I mean, there's different levels of the prophetic, but all of God's people should become intimate with God. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." What is righteousness? It's that which is right in the sight of God. There's a way that seems right in a man's own eyes, but the end thereof is death. But in him is life, and that life was the light of men. And as I said, he came to his own received them not, but as many as received him. So as children of God, we not only do we want to know God, we want to experience God in all that he is. And so when we talk about basic prophecy, edification, exhortation, comfort, it's so important to comfort people with the word of God. It's so important to help people and build people up. It's also important to exhort people, to tell them, yes, you can. Keep moving. Move forward. We're going to the top of this mountain. We're not stopping for water till we get to the top. Let me just prophesy to you from the word of God, from Psalm 112. It's highlighted here as the triumph of faith. Listen to this prophetic word. Shout in celebration of praise to the Lord. Everyone who loves the Lord and delights in him will cherish his words and be blessed beyond expectation. Their descendants will be prosperous and influential. Every generation of the righteous will experience his favor. Great blessing and wealth fills the house of the wise, for their integrity endures forever. Even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through, because they are gracious to other, so tender and true. Life is good for the one who is generous and charitable, conducting affairs with honesty and truth. What's the whole duty of man? To do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. If you can do justly and walk humbly before God and love mercy, my goodness, you're going to become a very intimate person with God. And as I like to say, intimacy with God always gives birth to the miraculous. All things are possible to them that believe, but it requires intimacy with God. How prophetic do you want to get? You can be as prophetic as you want to be. You're called by God's glory and his virtue. Virtue is an expression. Express the glory that's in you by becoming so intimate with God that not only does he love you, but he can love you and use you. And you get to apply his wisdom, which is the ability to apply truth, because he is the truth.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, I'm hearing John 21:18-19. And it's just giving me this picture of where Jesus says, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let them know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. And I think this intimacy truly comes from following him. And when we get to that place of old, and I mean just our intimacy is old, it's rich. It's been places with our God. He's done some serious work in us. That intimate place, the knowledge we receive from that intimacy, it's going to take us to that place he's talking about. And when he was talking, Peter witnessed this, and this is where he ultimately got Peter. All of them, pretty much, but Peter to that same death. And this is why lately my prayer has been, God, every morning I find myself saying, where can I give you the most glory? And I feel when we start asking him that, that's where it ultimately takes you. And so every day be open to where can you give the most glory? Where can you give the most glory daily in your life? What is it going to cost? And are you willing to do that? And so, it's going to take you places that you don't necessarily want to go. It's going to have you do things that you don't necessarily want to do. But really, do you have a choice in the matter? You might. There's this thing called free will. But you'll miss the very reason why you're alive today and why he made you in his image and why he called you onto himself. You'll be missing it all.
Man. Wow. So I don't know why this image is coming up to me. May not have anything to do with what you're saying, but as you're talking,
I don't feel like anything we have to do. I feel it's like so disfragmented, but I'm sure our audience is getting something out of this.
But just as you were talking, I was having this image that the Lord gave me years ago. Talking about intimacy. To me, intimacy is that spending that time with the Lord, that communion with him. Whether you do it through prayer, whether you're reading the word, whether you're sitting quiet and listening, that's the place where everything happens. Mm. And so years ago, he had given me this picture of, so whenever it's fall, I grew up in New England, so all the leaves are turning and all these gorgeous colors and everything. And just years after I had left home, once I came to the Lord, I was seeing this Patty Hayes was a girl that I went to school with, and her dad. So they were three daughters, and I may have shared this before in the program, but they had three daughters, and every fall, it was all times during the year, but he would have at least one of the girls arm in arm, and they would walk the lake, which was down past our house, strolling So they would just like spending time together. Mm. And I'd never thought about it until the Lord showed me the picture. So it just popped up again. So I see these, you know, the fall leaves and it's a little crisp day. Mm. So they're walking. To me, that's my picture for walking along with the Lord. You know, it wasn't about anybody else except us. We were just taking a walk and, you know, just spending that intimate time with him because he always has something to say to us. And so when we're out, if we're out trying to go with our friends or be with other people, we're going to miss what he wants to speak into our hearts. And, you know, of course, that, you know, her father is long gone and, you know, everybody's grown up and everything, but just that image of walking with the Lord, and because he loves each one of us and he's going to take that time with us because he wants to instill himself in us. Mm. You know, we were talking about earlier that he wants to be in us. He is in us through the Spirit.
Just to add to that, Karen, there are people listening that feel like they don't belong. And I'm reminded, you know, if Scripture were, it says, the Father seeing the prodigal. Mm. He says, get me a coat, get me some shoes, get me a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we have to go through life thinking that we don't add up. Why don't we realize that we just don't add up? You know, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But if you can fall short, then somehow in Christ, you can learn how to stand tall in that glorious realm of God and wear his shoes, wear his coat, and wear his ring that signifies mm-hmm. who you really are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a way back. Nobody is too old. Nobody is too far. God mm. loves people with an unconditional love. It could never be earned. You could never be good enough mm-hmm. to receive it. But you have to receive it by faith.
And to know that all that time that you were in the outside, there was a Father waiting day and night. Mm-hmm. There was a Father looking out, saying, when is my son or daughter going to return? And it's interesting how far he saw his son. Like, how did he know his son was out there? How did he know his son was coming that day? Because he was already. God never loses his post. God never wavers from his posts. God never wavers from his position. He is who he says he is. Okay? So he's there constantly watching and looking. And at that right moment, you come. And all you have to do is come. And he even doesn't even let you go all the way by yourself. He runs to you. That's the image, guys. Is as you draw near to him, he draws near to you. He meets you. But are you willing to take those steps forward? Are you willing to open that little gate and walk in and say, I need to go back home? I'd rather be a servant in my Father's heart, because I know that my Father even treats his servants like kings and queens. And yet I refuse and I remain here wasting my inheritance. Guys, he was wasting his inheritance. And yet I feel like his inheritance was restored once he received that robe and that ring, and it was like nothing ever happened. And so that's how it is with all of us, right? That's all our story.
And even the prophet Isaiah, what did he say? Woe, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But the angel took the tongs off the altar, picked up a hot coal, and he stuck it in my mouth to speak.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is true.
Amen.
Amen. And he'll accept you today just as you are. So if you don't know Jesus, just invite you today to ask him to just open up your heart and ask him to come in. Ask him to cleanse you of your sins. Ask him to put you back into fellowship with him. Mm. Because he desires it way more than you do. And he's standing by ready to embrace you, ready to love on you, and ready to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers your sins no more. Just come before him and get to know him today, because he's looking for you. And he wants that fellowship with you and that intimate relationship with you. And we are out of time today, so thank you so much for joining us. And again, we'd love to hear from you. WCNO.com. You can use that prayer request form. If you want to make a prayer request or a comment, just make sure you say it's for Hidden Places. All right. God bless.